Morning, we want to look at the scriptures. Amen. Acts chapter 20. Let's start at verse 26. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Now, Paul, on his way to Rome, saying goodbye. Saying goodbye to those he had been in ministry with for 3 years. And he had preached his heart out. And now he's leaving. And the scripture at verse 26 says, he said, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Precious Lord, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you for the power that's found in the Word of God. But Father God, we thank you for your church. We thank you for your church, Father God, which the text says was purchased with his own blood. The church is important. And we just need to understand, Father God, if we are the church, we have an important role to play. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I continue, and I know it's Pastor Week, and I know it's probably tradition that we preach a message on Palm Sunday on the entrance in, and I rode in on a donkey, and they say, "Hosanna, Hosanna." But I'm going to continue with the coronavirus series. God has put it on my heart to preach messages around that subject until things are back to normal. Or, better yet, God comes back.
Amen.
And takes his church home.
Amen.
Paul says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And
Amen.
James Brown says, "I can't lose with the stuff I use." I don't know how that plays in everything. I don't know how that plays in everything for James Brown, but we got some good stuff.
Amen.
If we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
So Paul is agonizing. He's agonizing with the people of God, the people that he loved, and they didn't want him to go. They didn't tell him, "Paul, you need to go to die." Paul understood that. And so Paul reminds the people of how important the church is. And the reason I brought this subject up is I hear so many people say, "Well, you know, we're wrong. We don't need the church. Because the government has said, shut down the church, don't go to church." So people, instead of understanding how important the church is, they've gone to saying, "Well, we don't need the church. Church isn't important. We are the church." And that is it. We got our phones and we got our technology and we got Facebook and YouTube and Zoom. We can just do church from home. That's not what the text says. And I believe we are the church. And with me believing that, I'm just going to read verse 28 one more time. And I'm going to talk about it. If you are the church, you got great responsibility.
Amen.
Okay? Let me read verse 28 just by itself. "Take heed therefore unto yourself." yourselves into all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Watch this. To feed the church of God. The church got a big appetite.
Amen.
It needs feeding.
Amen.
It needs nurturing. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. I don't want to be condescending because I know everybody understands what that said. But just in case, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the church.
Amen.
For the church.
Amen.
He showed the church great love. And you know, when I talk about great love, here's great love. Nails on his hands and his feet. Crown of thorns on his head. That's love.
Amen.
Sacrificial.
Amen.
So when folks say, well, we're gonna be the church. And we don't need the church anymore. And I am the church. Let me say something. Jesus' church is built on his blood.
Amen.
Our blood is tainted. And our blood couldn't start a church.
Amen.
Our blood couldn't start a church. Now there's folks in Youngstown. And they have their own churches. I know some people have got their names on their churches. And they call their churches by their last names. Okay? That's fine. But this ain't my church. People say, hey, you got your own church. This is not my church.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a right to close it down. And God didn't give me the keys to that door.
Amen.
Now, what's the meaning? Somebody say, we the church. What's that mean? I got five things I believe it means. I'm not gonna get through all five of them. Y'all know how this go. But one thing it means is that you are a structured place. You are sent. You are special. And you're powerful. Now you the church. You need to make sure that you fall into those categories. Structure me. You got a real good foundation.
Amen.
Okay? You got a real good foundation. Let me talk about that for a minute. People say, well, I'm the church. I'm fine with that. Okay? But here's what God says to Peter. He said, Peter, in Matthew 6:8, he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
You church, then you're building a rock. And you're going to be able to withstand all the hell will throw your way.
Amen.
All the hell will throw your way. And let me tell you something. If you the church, and if you go out living like a man or woman of God in a fallen, sinful, cursed world, you're going to get some rocks thrown at you.
Amen.
And you're going to get cursed at. You're going to get cussed out. You're going to be hated. Jesus said himself, he said, they hated me. And he was the truth. He didn't do no sinning. Now, they hated the sinless Christ. How do you know they feel about y'all, pastor? Because I am. Oh, wretched man that I am.
Amen.
Jesus said this about the church, about the people of God. Because see, in that day, Matthew 7:21, watch this now. He said, let not anyone that come unto me saying, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's Jesus saying? I don't read out this text. He said, there's a lot of people out there calling themselves the church, and they ain't really the church.
Amen.
Okay? He said, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, is a church. He said in verse 22, watch. And many of them said to me in that day, what day? day of judgment. The day when I call them out. The day when I'm handing out a verdict. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. And in thy name that cast out the devils. And in thy name I've done many wonderful works. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can do a lot without God. You can build a big old church without God. You can do a whole lot of things in the church. You can have a great van ministry. You can have a great children ministry. You can have a bouncing around out in the church and the swings and the slide. You can do a lot of things that are in man's eyes. Uh-huh. Wonderful. Amen. You know? A lot of people go to church now. Like I said, they go to church now. They got a restaurant cafeteria there, and while the pastor's preaching, they eat bagels and donuts and drink coffee.
Amen.
Watch what Jesus says. He said, "I will profess unto them, I never knew you." That's you don't hear that. You don't want to be in church all your life.
Yeah.
All your life, you done gave your time and your money, all your energy. You done make so many apple pies and make so many macaroni and cheese dishes and fry so much chicken. And you get to the day of judgment and God says,
I
never knew you. Who are you? What's he saying there? Because they don't know it. We're born again.
Amen.
They were born again. You have not my spirit. Okay, this is what the word of God is saying. He will make sure you got the right stuff.
Amen.
You need to keep checking. Keep questioning. Keep asking questions. And the Bible says that we'll say it today as communion. Let a man what?
Examine
himself. Why is that important? Because you don't want to show up with the wrong ticket on the wrong day.
Amen.
It's not worse than that, is it? Show up somewhere, they say, well, that's tomorrow. Or that already passed. Or your ticket has expired. It's all of that sort of past due. You want to make sure that you are in step and in sync and that you're running with the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and do them. Watch this now. You talk about having a firm foundation. You're a Christian, you're a church, you're going to make sure you have a firm foundation. None of these preachers just entertain you. Okay? Jesus, I knew. Paul, I knew. But who are you? Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine. But I just said it, what Jesus said, but you just heard what I said. You hear them, you understand them, and they're intimate to you, and you apply them in your life. That's what the word hearing means. The word don't mean hearing, I heard that before. I hear a lot of that stuff. No, hearing that I hear it, I understand it, and I'm going to accept it as true, and then I'm going to apply it to my life.
Amen.
That's hearing. That's biblical hearing.
Amen.
Okay? So he said, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him to a wise man. Why is this man wise? Because he heard and he accepted them, and now he's applying and he's making application to his life, and he's a wise man. Now watch what a wise man did. He built his house upon a rock. Stone. He put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
He put the work in. The oil trailer. Somebody heard about it from. This is, you know, they got pre-manufactured houses. Just order me one of them and drive it over here and set it down. And he built his house on a rock. That means he dug deep. He put some sweat into it. He put some energy into it. He put some effort into it. Because he had to get into this rock. Because he wanted to make sure that his house stood the test of time.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm finding out today. That a whole lot of Christians' faith is not able to stand the test.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared. They're panicking. They're running around. What's going to happen? Riding around, masks on, and all that. Scared of dying. That should be the last thing on a saint's mind. That should be the last thing. We live for to die.
Amen.
Look at it. We're going to stay down here. This mud hole.
Amen.
Where do we go? Amen. Got a mansion waiting for me.
Amen.
We're out here. I don't want to go. Like the rapper said, everybody want to go to heaven. But nobody want to die.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody want to go, but not today.
Amen.
Not today. Got to watch the rest of this series I just started on Netflix. Listen. Here's what the wise man did. He built his house on a rock. Watch this now. And the rain descended. And the floods came. And the wind blew and beat upon that house. How many here been took a beating? Life has given, taken, it has beaten us down. And we have buried mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Some of us have buried babies. And we've been unemployed. And we've been out of work. And we've been hurt. We've been in bad marriages and bad kids. This world has beat us down.
Amen.
Guess what? The wise man, because he built his house upon a rock. Christian, you the church. This is what folks tell me all the time. Well, we the church, okay. Are you on a rock?
Mm-hmm.
Are you on a rock? Because when the rain descended, when the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. When I hear the word the winds blew, I think about Job. See, Satan used the wind. Took away all Job had.
Yeah.
Okay? And Job was a bishop of the church. And his wife said, let's curse God and die. His wife reminded me of the government. Reminded me of the mayor. Reminded me of the governor. Just shut down the church and to a lot of people. When you say shut down the church, they shut their Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
They sit home and just play with their Lord all day. In the church at home. I just wonder if people have a church at home are getting up, taking a shower, shaving, and putting on a suit and sitting there watching church on TV. That would be church at home for me and Cindy. We just get up like a normal day, put a normal Sunday, put our Sunday best on, and sit there. And we were sitting there with coffee, the whole house smelled like sausage and bacon. We watching church. House shoes on, kids running around. Come on, man. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why not? Think about it. Because it was founded upon a rock.
Amen.
You know, some places in Austin town, when it rained real good, houses just flood. I mean, you go out there and all the furniture's out on the street, carpet rolls, the carpet out on the street. Why? Not a good foundation. Okay? Bad builders. So we got some bad builders building bad houses. And we got some bad pastors building bad houses. Mm-hmm. And now when the storms are coming and folks are panicking, I wish I would catch one of y'all panicking. Why are we not? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to get the coronavirus. Good, get it. Listen. I say that you know you're just a mean preacher. You know, I'm not mean. Because this corruptible must put on
incorruptible.
Thank you, Deacon. This corruptible must put on incorruptible. We're going to die of something.
Amen.
Okay? And the coronavirus is going to get you. Cancer may get you. Your high blood pressure may get you. Your diabetes may get you. Your COPD, whatever. Your bodies are designed to break down and die. And God is designed to save us. He died so that when our bodies broke down and we can rest assured that He's got a place for us.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
That's the hope of a believer. You know, we're living out here like we don't have no hope. We need a church. Let me keep going. Stop me. And anyone, verse 26, to hear these sayings of mine and do them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Okay? You ever watch Florida? Hurricanes come on, beach houses. Everybody just run out of them. They just run out of them. They go down there with a nice weather. That's what I call fair weather Christians. When we got a lot of them, they say they need to church until all hell break out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they run away. Watch verse 27. Here we go. Here go the Christian. Here go the Christian that not built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was his fall. Listen, what's the problem here? Same house, maybe the same neighborhood. Okay. What was it just been? What happened? One house was built on sand. His house was probably built already. And he probably already living in it. And the other guy built his house on a rock, still digging in that rock. And he probably like to pull you up, laughing at us. Look at you, man. My house is built. I'm sitting here with some millions. I'm digging, man. You still digging the foundation. That's what we're going to do. You get mocked if you tell me you are a man of God anymore. I'm building my house on a rock. He already got a patio, furniture, everything, barbecue, and you still build the foundation.
Amen.
When finally you get in the house, his was built in 6 months, yours took 2.5 years. Now they're both living. And he and hey neighbor, how you doing? You know? And his house is both up the same. But there's a big difference. Because what you can't see is big. His is built on rock. Now watch what happens to the sand guy. To Mr. Sandman. He built his house on sand. Watch what happens. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Remember the first man? Sand wind, sand storm, sand flood came and it was and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. Watch this guy. This is Jesus preaching. This is the greatest sermon I ever preached.
Amen.
This is the Sermon on the Mount. And watch what Jesus says about this guy. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, the beat upon that house, and it fell. It fell. And great was the fall of it. Ain't never made nothing like a preacher falling. Ain't nothing like a church. Ain't nothing more embarrassing to me than seeing a church boarded up and closed down. And they turned the church up the road here into a paint store.
Mm-hmm.
What a shame. We live, you know, times have changed. You don't want church like they used to. Okay, that's fine. Let's keep going. Look at you. What Paul had to say. Now, I know this one. You guys have heard this so many times. But it just fits the occasion. And it's vastly becoming one of my favorite subjects and favorite scriptures in the Bible. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Y'all know it already. Okay, but it's worth repeating. Because Paul understood the importance of having a firm foundation. And even the steward, the importance, if you're going to say you're the church, you better know what you're getting into. Don't tell me you're the church and nobody know you're the church. Because everybody know when they lie about a church.
Amen.
Everybody know what a church look like.
Amen.
Okay? Everybody know what they do in a church. But all people telling me they're the church and I never knew they were the Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear them talking about the things of God. You never hear them offering up prayer. You never hear nothing. But now that the government has told the church to close down, now all the church of people coming out. Well, I'm the church now. You never went to church anyway. You never went to church but a couple times. Here's Paul. ministry. He is now awaiting his death. He is waiting to be beheaded. And he's talking to Timothy. He said, Timothy, this has to be preached because this is the pastoral epistle. I want you to write everything down and I want you to circulate it throughout all the churches because this is a model for anyone who thinks that they're going to be the church. Or they are the church. Or they want to say they're the church. Paul says this. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead and his appearance and his kingdom. That's what Paul says. He says this to the church. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine. Stay with the Bible. Stay with the Bible. Even when you don't want to preach, stay with the Bible. Don't get into all that entertainment and all that. Turn to the neighbor. Turn to the right. Turn to the left. Give yourself a high five. No. Get away from that junk.
Amen.
Preach the gospel.
Amen.
Why was Paul so desperate to preach it? Amen. The next verse explains it. He said, for the time will come. I mean, it's here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine ain't easy to hear. Because sound doctrine will trigger sound living. And the sound living will trigger different behaviors and different desires and affections. And folks don't want to mess with it. Folks don't want to hear about repentance. Folks don't want to hear about atonement. Folks don't want to hear it.
Amen.
They like the day Isaiah said, the people said to the preacher, preach to us smooth things.
Mm-hmm.
Preach to us smooth things. Okay? He says this, for the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Ear ticklers. Okay? Ear ticklers. Let me bless you. Everything's going to be all right. You know, God's going to bless you, girl. God, you can just listen. God will have to strike you before he gets your attention. We know about blessings. See, here's some verses about blessings that the faith preachers and the word of faith preachers and all the happy preachers won't preach about faith. Blessed. You want to be blessed? Blessed are the persecutors. How about that one? How about somebody, I'm blessed because I'm being persecuted. See, that's what Jesus said. That's not me. Blessed are the persecuted. Okay? How about that? Verse 5. Watch this. Same text. He said, but watch all things and endure your afflictions. You the church. How you dealing with afflictions? You know, one of the most obvious things, one of the most obvious ways that the world looks at the church, and if you call yourself the church, you the church now, and you don't need the church, you the church now. How you dealing with afflictions? How you dealing with afflictions? You gotta run a mass on. In your car. You're scared to death. But you're the church. You're the church. But you're scared. God's church ain't scared.
Amen.
God's church ain't scared. Jesus wasn't scared.
Amen.
He wasn't scared.
Amen.
Bible says in Hebrews, he said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Amen.
Amen.
And when he told the disciples, he said, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, and they're going to humiliate me, they're going to spit on me, they're going to beat me, they're going to slap me around, they're going to put a crown of thorns on my head, they're going to scourge me, and then they're going to kill me.
Amen.
Then he said, I'm going to have a third day.
Come on now.
I'm going to rise again.
Amen.
And see, he wasn't scared. And he was in front of the disciples on the way to Jerusalem. He wasn't behind. He wasn't tucking his tail, dragging along like, oh, I'm going to hold presence. I've said it before. You were the great man of God. You fired one that was a coward.
Amen.
They had to drag Daniel to the lion's den.
Amen.
They had to drag. They said, Ezra, you stop praying. You stop praying or we're going to put you in the lion's den. They said, hey, your brother, you know, hey, you should go to church. You know, the government said don't go to church. And you're going to get the coronavirus. What about that?
Amen.
What about it? And then they said, he's going to worry about it. And they said, listen, Nicodemus, listen, Nicodemus. You were trying to fire all the way up. Okay? Turn it up seven times. Just turn it up. I'm not dancing and bowing down to the world's music. And then Nicodemus, his last words on that subject was, I thought I put three men in the fire, but why don't I see a fourth one?
Come on,
Pat. Now, I did get the coronavirus. Guess what? Jesus is going to be in that ventilator.
Come on.
He's going to be in that ventilator. I'm going to be all right. All right. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to miss Cindy. And I'm going to miss Korea. And I'm going to miss Nehemiah. I'm going to miss some of y'all.
Amen.
Some of y'all.
Amen.
I'm going to miss Wednesday night. So everybody, like, he's talking about me. I'm going to miss you the most. I'd be like Dorothy on the Wizard of Oz, and you were there, and you were there. Let me keep going. He says, Paul, here's Paul. And he's thought of me, all of us, if we the church. I like verse 6. Boy, if we had a nation of Christians who thought like this.
Come on now.
Paul says this. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. How about that? Are you ready? If you're the church, are you ready? Are you ready? Paul was getting ready to get his head cut off. When you hate people that have a virus, when 90% of the people who get it survive it. But we scared the devil. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Paul said, the next person come to my door could be coming to get me to cut my head off. Then I like this. Here we go. Here where it gets good. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. He said, I fought a good fight. You know, I got knocked down a few times. You know, I got some teeth knocked out. I got some bumps and bruises. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Boss says, here's the key. I have kept the faith.
Amen.
Paul said, you saints, you want to be the church, and I'm the church now. You know what I mean? You got the church on your phone and on your tablet. Let me tell you, are you fighting a good fight?
Right.
Are you fighting a good fight? Are you ready to be offered? You ready to be offered? Are you ready to be offered? Let's keep going. Let's keep going. I'm going to skip a couple because I want to get to this. You know, not only are you church, not only are you following a rock, but you are special. You are special. And look, you use that word special now like something wrong with you. Hey, she's special. No, I don't mean that.
Amen.
I don't mean you special like because you're slow or low functioning or something like that. I got to be careful because I'm not politically correct on that stuff. But. He says, you are a chosen generation. Peter says, but you are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2 and 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation. That's what he says. You are a royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. I'm going to start right there. Are you peculiar? Are you different? Do you live different? Do you talk different? Do you sound different? Do you walk different?
Amen.
Do you go to different places?
Amen.
Huh? Or you just fit right in. You got a chameleon. You just fit right in with the world. You know? You like the guy, you know, a young guy got saved. He came to church. He was on fire. He got born again. He was saved. He was shouting, I'm saved. And the supervisor said, come here, boy. Keep that
religion. And see, that's how we are anymore. What about my mother say? Does anybody have a job that you say? Do people in your job know that you are a man of God or a woman of God? Church. Church. Well, I'm the church. I got church on my tablet. I got church on my phone. Your co-workers know you're the church. Your neighbors know you're the church. The kids know you're the church. We got a generation of kids, but parents now, they watch all action movies when they kill kids. Cussing around their kids, that's cussing and swearing, and then singing in the choir. Singing in the choir. I think of a story J. Vernon McGee told years ago. Matter of fact, J. Vernon McGee, he said he went to the bank. He went to the bank and heard all this cussing and swearing in the bank. He said, "What's going on?" He looked back there, and then he said it was the same woman who was at the church he was at. Now be careful. He's special. He's special. He's so self-righteous. He's so judgmental. That's not what I'm saying. He's special.
Amen.
God chose us.
Amen.
We choose him. He didn't choose you because he was up something. He didn't choose you because he was good. He didn't choose. I don't know why he chose me.
Amen.
I have no idea. That's the number one question on my list when I get to heaven. When I stand before him, I say, "Why did you choose me?"
Amen. Amen.
Because I can't think of nothing that was worthy in me.
Amen.
For him to choose.
Amen.
Well, I like to play golf. I like to fish. That's all I'm doing.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
See, I fit into that category, but when he chose me, he equipped me to live a life of godliness. He equipped me to live a life where I can serve him. Now, if he didn't equip you, you got to question it.
Amen.
And I see people going back in the restaurants all the time. They bring it in. Look, I'm something missing. They come back and got things. Man, look, you didn't give him no prize. Now, if you say you saved and God didn't give you a heart of love and a mind that desires the things of God, then you got to question God. God, you say you saved me, but I don't have no desire for the Word of God, no desire for prayer, no desire for fellowship. I mean, if you tell me not to go to church, I don't even have a problem with it. It's not that important to me.
Oh, amen.
There's something missing.
Amen.
There's something missing. You gotta check engine light on. I don't like check engine light. When I get a check engine light, I'm going to the AutoZone and put that thing on. What's wrong with it? And we got Christians running out here with check engine lights on. Because something missing. Something ain't firing right.
Yes, yes.
Why God choose me? I have no idea. But I know what the scripture says. There's none righteous.
Amen.
None not one. Now, I use this verse a lot, but I have to put it to myself. Before God said it's hard, because before God saved me, I thought Christians was fools. I thought it was foolish to go to church. I couldn't care less about it before God saved me. And I was Psalm 14:1. Fool has said it's hard. There is no God. Why is a fool saying it's hard that there's no God? Because the text says they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that do it good.
Amen.
None.
Mm-hmm. Why did God save me? Why did God save me? Watch verse 10 of 1 Peter 2 and 10. Watch this. And this part before I let go today. He says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now have obtained mercy. Why did God choose me? Because out of his mercy. Out of his mercy. What is mercy? Out of his compassion. Out of his pity. Out of his forgiving heart and his kindness. He chose me. That's why he chose me. And if you're not saved today, and if you don't know Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and if you've got a faith that don't work in the times of crisis and adversity, then you need to please, God, extend your mercy to me. Extend your mercy to me. Let me give you one of the greatest texts in the Bible on mercy. On mercy. And I'm going to close. Here's the greatest text in the Bible on mercy. Here's Paul. Paul knew God had shown him mercy. Paul fit that description. He was a maniac. He was a killer. He was an injurious man. And Paul said, but I did all that. I am this. Paul said, I was a chief sinner. But watch this. He wrote this. And I think he's writing about himself. When I think about this text, I think Paul's just talking about what God did for him. But salvation is not, there's not 20 different varieties of salvation.
Amen.
You can't just go out there and handle to the ice cream store and say, look on the board like, what salvation I want? Chocolate, pecan, vanilla, strawberry, banana. No. Amen. Salvation is standard across the board. God's still saving the same way.
Amen.
One way to save it, God has to give you the faith to believe. Watch what Paul says. He says that you have me quick in Ephesians 2. Who are dead in trespasses and sins. See, God has to make us come alive spiritually before we can be saved. I ask people that all the time. How does a person get saved if they was dead and they trust down and say, God has to do some miraculous work on you? That's what he did on me. I wasn't trying to get saved. I'm going to tell you right now, I wasn't trying to get saved.
Amen.
I wasn't walking around like, you know what? I need to get saved.
Amen.
That's what I wasn't thinking about. I'm not going to tell you what I was thinking about, but I wasn't thinking about that.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I was dead in trespasses and sins. And this is what Paul said. When in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Yes, I did. According to the prince of the power of the air. Yes, I did. The spirit that now working in the children of disobedience. Yes, I understand that spirit because it worked in me.
Amen.
Okay? Among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Yes, I had my boys, we all thought the same thing. We all were looking for the same thing. We all were trying to do the same thing. And they weren't getting saved.
Uh-huh.
They just weren't getting saved. But God.
Amen.
Amen.
But God. See, we know by nature the children of wrath. We didn't mean the children of wrath, man. We was unregenerate. We was on our way to hell. That's what it means, the children of wrath. We were born to live a life and then go to hell. Children of wrath. Wrath was our father. Wrath was our parents. But God.
Amen.
Verse 4. Paul said, but God. Who is rich in mercy. Paul says, boy, I'm so glad that he used a lot of it on me. Paul said he used a lot of that mercy on me. But he didn't touch it. Paul didn't touch it. Paul says, God is rich in mercy. Watch this now. For with his great love, wherewith he loved us.
Mm-hmm.
He loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us. He loved us.
Amen.
Even when we were dead in sins. That's what the text says. I'm not making this up. Even when we were dead in sins. Have he quickened us together with Christ? How? By grace you are saved.
Amen.
By grace you are saved. Listen, folks. Listen. I can go on, talk about what it means to be the church. Because I hear it all the time. Everybody telling me now they're the church. Nobody was telling me they was the church before they shut the churches down. And we go, oh, they shut the churches down. Yeah, they did. Yeah, he did. Now, there's only one day, probably a handful I'm open. Now, you know what I hope as I close? I hope when and if this thing ever ends, because Governor Michael Ryan and and Dr. Amy acted because they got so much power that they can shut down the whole state and tell everybody to stay in their houses. I'm homeless. They can tell everybody, go to church.
Amen.
Go to church. You know, we wouldn't have no churches if the governor, because he's more powerful than God. Oh, he's more powerful. And listen, if the governor can shut everything down, and God says, listen, if you don't sit there, you're going to die and go to hell. And the governor says, stay in your houses. And we do. Don't open the door to the churches, and we do. Well, the governor ought to say, you know what? And I say, Mr. Governor, why? Somebody send him a copy of it. Tell everybody to go to church. Tell everybody to get saved after this is over with. Amen. You know, amen. You see, when you look up, you know, we've been preaching it for 2,000 years.
Come on now.
And ain't nobody listening.
Amen.
So I say that, and I close. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for the church. Thank you for people who call themselves the church. And I hope after they really did an examination of who they are, that they'll realize their need for the church. Father, I pray for every church. I pray for the pastors and the leadership of churches. Father God, I know churches are going to be struggling after this is over with. I pray that you will keep the ones open.
Yeah.
I pray that you will keep the ones open that are faithful to the scriptures.
Yeah.
Keep the ones open, Father God, that preach the word of God. With power. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.